the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. I am your host, Mr. Michael Dean, the Iron Hamster. On the other end of the inner tubes, we have Mr. Lusander Fiend, the Chop Shop Rooster. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you
old
been
Mike
conned?
Dean had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Yeah, I'm here, bro.
Have you been contacted by the government?
I don't want to answer that question.
Okay. Are you safe?
Oh, yeah, I'm safe.
Okay. Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, how are you? Where are you? What's up?
I am somewhere in the deep south, hidden away where the government can't find me.
Yeah, because the government never has gone into the deep south for anything.
Oh, Ben, you must be inside of an answer, because they can never find that.
So, Lou, what's on the plate today?
On the plate today is we have our Halloween party for the Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition, and it will be held at the Status Recovery House. I'll be making up a big old pot of chili, and people will be coming around dressed up funny and dressed up normal, which is sometimes funny. And yeah, it's going to be a hoot nanny, and it's going to be colder than all Hades. So we're going to have the fire pits going and maybe sacrifice some status in there with some rituals and drink some hamster blood. And basically a usual Saturday night for us, because that's how we roll.
Yeah, you can dress up as socialists and go door to door and beg for things.
Oh, that was last night.
Yeah, that was, you know, the thing is, a lot of places more and more are just not doing Halloween, sometimes by local fiat demand of the government, and sometimes just people decide that, or sometimes instead they'll have an event at the school or the church. And so really, like, in the 5 years we've been in Wyoming, and we're on like a, you know, not through street, not in the center of town. You know, we used to get like two or three, like the first year we bought candy and like three or four groups of kids came by, and it's gotten down to like last 2 years, it's been none. So this year we had nothing. And, yesterday I had my door open, you know, the window, the outside door shut, but the inside door open to get some sun when I first got up. And I heard a knocking at like 4 p.m., man. I mean, I'm just waking up because, you know, I do a nighttime show also during the week. So I turn around, there's kids. It's like, I can't hide from them. I can't pretend I'm not here. They can see me. So I just go out and they're like, can we have some candy? And I just put my arms up in the air like, I got nothing, man. Sorry. And they're like, okay. And, you know, they did not trigger the social contract and egg my house, which is good.
You didn't pour like some Rolaids or something into their bag and said, hey, you know, I don't have individually wrapped. Yeah, I bought three large bags of candy for Halloween. I bought a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups and then two combination bags. And it was like almost all gone by yesterday morning.
Well, yeah, because it's a slow planned mugging, because it's Detroit, and there they'll burn your house down if you don't give them candy.
Well, also, I live in an apartment building, and trick-or-treaters don't come in here.
Yeah. Don't you live in an apartment building for, like, octogenarian war widows or something?
Pretty much, yeah.
You're the youngest guy there at, like, 39 or something, 40?
29 in warm years. But there you go. I'm 44, and I'm probably the youngest. There may be a fellow in here that's younger than me. He's disabled, and that's how he got in here. But yeah, I bought that candy strictly for myself. And now that I'm down to the stuff that I don't really want quite as much, I have to go refill it with the stuff that I do want so that it's not so depressing to look at it. But
yeah.
And last night it was cold and rainy here. I mean, the winds were howling. It was probably around 27 degrees. And that's kind of a bummer, because like I really think that Halloween is a cool time for kids, and you know, they dress up and they go out and do their thing. And when you have such a nasty night like that, it's a bummer for me, because I'm empathetic to the plight of the kids. I went out trick-or-treating as a kid. I really enjoyed it. I liked dressing up. I liked making my own costumes and decorating and all that other stuff. And one of the things that really bothered me was on one of those cold nights, you'd have your little store-bought costume, which was kind of a cheapo type thing. And on the cold nights, you'd have to wear your winter coat over it. And that was like the uncoolest thing on earth, because obviously nobody had learned about layering and putting on sweatshirts underneath.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bummer. You know, for the kids, good weather on Halloween. That's what I demand.
Speaking of things that used to be costumes you could buy, I saw a really excellent meme going around. It was Spock from Star Trek, the actual Spock, not a guy in a dime store costume of Spock. It was Leonard Nimoy in the day, like in the, you know, late 60s, early 70s, in prime Spock years, on location of it was in a parking lot that was fenced in. It looked very LA. It was obviously like him taking a break during filming, you know, out at lunch or something. And he's leaning up against a car that's just the coolest looking muscle car. It's like a Plymouth Barracuda or something. And the caption, a Riviera, you've seen it. Yeah. And the caption someone put on it was, "You may be cool, but you'll never be Spock leaning on a Riviera cool." I liked it. And I do want to take this opportunity to say that Barack Obama is a liar, he's a socialist, and his feet stink. I like to say that at least once an hour when we're not talking about politics. So
he puts the execute in executive branch.
Yes, he does put the execute in executive branch, because people channel flip, or people are driving across the desert, run a lot of desert stations. And, you know, I don't want him to think we're just the local, we don't ever talk about politics, you know, morning, noon drive zoo show or something. But so what's on your mind, Mr. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker?
Well, just to stay in the spirit of the holiday, I was thinking when Lou mentioned the wind was howling, you know, in Irish mythology and in some Norse mythology, the winds blowing late in the autumn night are the sounds of the banshee screaming across the fields, carrying the souls of the dead warriors to their everlasting eternity.
Yeah. You know the motif of there's these things that always go around of like a soldier with his flag draped coffin and his beloved dog sitting by the coffin.
Yeah.
You know, like faithful until, you know, beyond death kind of thing, or thank him for his service or whatever. Which, you know, I always think, okay, I thought that was a new thing. Like that's even in that movie, Wag the Dog, like when they're faking, actually the soldier dies, but there's a guy that they set up who was a mental patient prisoner in an army hospital jail, who they set up to try to look like the hero that saved America from the war with,
Albania.
Yeah. You know, they have a dog run in and like follow the coffin. That's not a new meme. I actually was looking up the term rest in peace and the origin of that term, and it goes back to actually first century BC. It was a Hebrew saying that was put on graves that actually didn't mean like, you know, may he find eternal peace and rest and or you know, don't disturb his grave. It actually meant like something about, you know, here lies a person who died because he couldn't stand the evil of the world.
Wow.
But there's actually a painting from the 1800s that depicts something from the 1400s that's a knight in armor lying in state dead with his dog sitting at his side. He's not in a coffin. He's just laying on top of a monument or, just like a table, basically. But yeah, that's that. The dog with the soldier goes back that far. But I was thinking, like, you know, we're cat people. I'm thinking, like, yep, dogs are faithful like that. And if it was a cat, they'd just be chewing on his eyelids, because that's what cats would just eat you, man. All right. So that's a Halloween. This seems to be a Halloween theme here, man.
Yeah, black cats eating the eyes out of dead people.
Yeah. Yep. And, you know, I was actually researching a novel I wrote one time. And that was something that was going to, you know, I was wondering if that happened. I wasn't going to show it, was not going to show it in graphic detail in the novel or describe it. But, you know, I was talking about someone who died of a drug overdose and that, you know, her cats had kind of gotten at her. And I was like, and this is before I ever saw this on CSI or anything like that. And it was in the year 2000. or 1999. And I actually was like, I'm going to research this. And, you know, like the internet wasn't advanced enough yet to find everything at your fingertips, or at least someone who thinks they know it all and has an answer. So I actually called up, this was in San Francisco, I actually called up the a company called crimescenecleaners.com or crimescenecleanup or something.com. And I called him up, and the guy was like, yep, kitty's got to eat, man. If the body's not found for a while. Yeah. He said, in his experience, I don't want to get too graphic, but, you know, the answer to your question, kitty's got to eat.
But what about dogs?
Dogs will probably wait longer before they devour you because they have the devotion kind of thing.
Okay, so they'll go like 12 hours instead of 30 minutes?
Yes. Oh, I've taken a long nap and my cats start to chew on my eyelids, my lips.
They're up there checking your pulse.
Yeah. Looking at the clock.
You wake up, the cat's in front of you holding a mirror in front of your face.
Looking for the fog.
Yeah. I'm looking through the fog. I have a saying when sometimes I sleep extraordinarily well. Like people who don't like me are like, how do you sleep at night? And I'm like a baby on morphine crossed with a rock, you know? But I don't always sleep long enough. Cause like I have to set alarms to get up to do this show on the weekends, you know? So I slept 4 hours last night, and my saying for it is swimming to the surface, you know, the period of 20 to 30 minutes between the alarm going off and me ingesting a heroic amount of coffee and trying to get some breakfast in me. And then, you know, hearing that music come in and going, good morning, Sundance, and good morning, Barstow. And, you know, suddenly like it's a really weird thing going from like absolutely asleep and incoherent to speaking to 33 radio stations and probably 100,000 people. Yeah. Wow. All
right. You know when your cat is batting at you and you're asleep, they're not really trying to wake you up. They're playing with their food.
They're tenderizing you. Yeah, we'll be back after this trip to the free market.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us. Freedom Fiends. Suffering for your freedom. So the Freedom Fiends have been under attack. We've been dropping so much truth lately, and this is true. We've been going hard in the paint about certain people. And we're not going to get into that. But the Freedom Fiends website suffered a distributed denial of service attack for 48 hours recently. Do you know? You guys know what that is?
Yeah. That's when usually dummy computers are used, but not always. Sometimes live computers are used. And they just keep pinging the site over and over and overwhelm the servers.
Yep. And it was absolutely targeted only against our IP address. I do believe it was someone trying to censor our free speech for complaining about people censoring free speech. And I'm not saying it came from the people we were complaining about, but I think it was coming from fans of them who protect their protect their emperor from the world, knowing he has no clothes.
I think it's critical to point out, though, that they failed. I mean,
they failed
because of the robustness of the way that you've got this set up now,
and our kick butt admin. Yeah, it was basically we were down for like a minute once, and he just threw a bunch more alligators into the virtual moat, and it was mitigated. Yep.
So they put a lot of effort into it, and they utterly failed.
Yeah, and then I got another attack at home during the show the other day, and it knocked us offline. And that one, we looked at the logs on that one, and that may have been targeted at us, or it may not have been. We don't know yet. But here's the solution we've come up with is, so when we get knocked off, usually they play music or something for a while, but anytime from now on, whenever we get knocked off the air, or if we can't do a show for some reason, you know, if I'm like, you know, beat up and thrown in the hospital or something, it's not going to keep us off radio. And they used to play the Chris Novoselic interview, but from now on, they're always going to play the interview with Colleen and Greg.
So in other words, they're trying to silence you. And then in the attempt to silence,
they're going
to
louden me. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, basically, like, even they might silence me when I'm not even talking about that topic, and it'll make that topic go out on the radio. It's like an automatic kill switch that will trigger that event if anything happens to our show feed.
Wow, that sounds about as useless as voting for liberty.
What sounds as useless? Trying to silence the fiends?
Trying to silence the fiends and loudening them.
And loudening them, yep. What is the campaign for a longer leash?
The campaign for Longer Leash is a Facebook page, and you can find it at facebook.com/campaignforlongerleash. And what it does is it basically makes fun of many statists and those that believe that you can use the broken, corrupted, filthy government to fix the broken, corrupted, filthy government, in a nutshell. It's loaded with memes. There's a few people admitting it. I'm on there. A couple guys from The Art of Not Being Governed, a fellow from the western part of Michigan, and one of our main contributors is Nima Vedati's mom. She's having a blast with it, and she's just out of control with making memes and all that other stuff.
That's cool.
Yeah, and we've spoofed a lot of the Liberty stuff. For example, you can see the advertisement for the Bad Barker podcast, where leashlessness is our mission. We have Free Talk Live with Bark Edge, Ian Free Dog, formerly known as Ian St. Bernard. And of course, you know, you have to know your rights. So there's contributions from dogcatcherblock.org. And basically it just takes shots at all these ideas that you can vote for liberty and actually get it. And with Campaign for a Longer Leash, it's not the many status that they're involved in groups like Campaign for a Tiny Bit Liberty or Tiny Bit More Liberty. And I don't dislike them. I don't hate them. I think
they're a gateway drug to true freedom too, and true liberty. Right.
But they're not trying to get freedom. They're only trying to get a longer leash. And as Ben has talked about on his podcast, you know, if you get a longer leash, you're not free. If you get taken off the leash and you're still in a backyard with the gate closed, you're still not free. And essentially, there is no such thing as half free.
Yeah.
So rather than begging for a couple more inches of leash and some scraps from the table, you know, just quit swinging at the leaves and branches and strike the root. And I know this is a redoglick where we elect representatives to tell us how long our leashes will be, but I mean, that's nonsense. Get away from that. And another project that I have is I will be admitting the Facebook page for The Art of Not Being Governed on Tuesday. It will be Election Day with Lou. I will be taking questions from anybody that wants to write into the page or post on the Facebook wall.
You'll be the listen lady for what they say is the most important election in your lifetime. But they say that about everyone.
Yep.
I've gotten four things in the mail this week that said that.
Listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Do you believe in free speech?
Jay Raven had her True Shives YouTube channel taken down. We believe this censorship was wrong, and we believe the channel is a clear example of free speech. Many people are bullied on the internet, but Jay Raven actually stood up to the bullying. She has filed a self-defense lawsuit against the individuals who took down the channel. The outcome of this suit could be very important to the future of free speech. Learn more at TrueShibes.com. That's Tango, Romeo, Uniform, Sierra, Hotel, India, Bravo, Echo, Sierra.com. TrueShibes.com. This is Mr. Michael Dean. I am the lead singer in the Freedom Fiends rock musical extravaganza. And you're listening to Freedom Chat on the Freedom Fiends. We have me and Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, and Mr. Lusander Fiend. And you got a nice segue. Go ahead, Lou.
Yes. Speaking about voting for liberty, let's take a look at the results of it. People like to talk about how Colorado was example of how voting, how using the democratic process can bring more liberty. Because now, if you have all the license permits and permissions and pay all the fees, you are free to use recreational cannabis.
Which is far safer than alcohol. I mean, I know that people always bring that up. And for some reason, that's not even logic to status. They're like, yeah, but I heard it's bad. You know, it's like, here's a scientific fact, but no, that's I don't care. I don't hear it.
Well, let me flash people with my macho liberty real quick. Why should anybody else have a say what somebody else puts in their body? And where do you draw the line?
Yeah, if you don't like Obamacare, if you don't like the government controlling your health, why should you be against someone smoking a little weed? You know, medically if they have cancer, but also recreationally. And none of us smoke weed. None of the triumvirate of people on here today smoke weed. Lou drinks about once a year. Ben drinks about once a month. I haven't had a drink or a drug in 20 years. But we are absolutely in favor of people being able to make their own decisions for their health care and for, you know, their whatever they do to hurt their health. It's not anybody else's business.
You know, I'd like to ring in on this also, because many of the right-wing people, you know, there's such an inconsistency. They are really right on so many things, and then there's stuff where they just don't think it through. And many right-wing people will get really upset when they hear that somebody like those people in New York City are outlawing super gulp-sized drinks, or they're telling you whether or not you can have certain kinds of fat in your French fries or whatever. And the right-wing people have a tendency to get really upset when government starts telling them how big their glass of, you know, corn syrup can be that they gulp down at the AMPM or whatever. But what they don't realize is the concept is the same. If they can tell you whether or not you can buy a certain type of alcohol, if they can tell you whether or not you can brew your own alcohol or distill your own alcohol and sell it to your neighbor, if they can tell you what you can and can't grow in your backyard and smoke, if they can tell you that, then they can tell you what flavor of sugary drink you're allowed and how much of it you're allowed. It's the same concept.
And keep in mind, fellow gun owners, the people they've trained to kick in doors and act like soldiers and take piles of plants away from people, those are the same people they're going to have kicking in your doors. And if you think you're going to have some Ruby Ridge style go out in a blaze of glory, nah, man, they're just going to pull you over on the way to the dentist, which they're going to know you're going to, or the doctor, because they know your Obamacare's schedule. They're going to pull you over, and they are going to point guns at your head before you can get to your rifle, and they're going to pull you out. They're going to handcuff you. They're going to take the keys out of your pocket and go to your house and, you know, maybe shoot your dog if you have one, or shoot your cat if you have a guard cat, or even if you have just a sleeping cat. They do shoot dogs and cats all the time now. And they'll just take your guns, man. There's not going to be an American Revolution in your front yard like that. They're not going to let it happen.
And let's take a step further.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Lou.
Let's take a step further. If you've ever been involved in a raid, either doing a raid or being in a room when a raid happened, it happens very quickly.
Yeah.
The people sneak up on you, and they go through the door very quickly. They may throw a flashbang grenade into the crib of your child. And before you know what has happened, you are cuffed and stuffed and on the floor. So you can polish your bayonet all you want. It just means that it's going to shine really nice when it's on the evidence table. Or if they really want to bad enough, they will kill you. They will take your gun from your still warm, possibly twitching hand. So, no, this whole nonsense about revolution, it's not going to happen like you think it is. Because I've been in a room when it's been taken, and I've taken rooms, not in real life scenarios, but in training exercises, and it happens quickly. And let me tell you, when somebody busts into a room, racks a shotgun, and has everybody on the ground and has a Rottweiler sniffing at your neck, you're hoping that it's one of the Marines and he likes you, and it's not the Rottweiler that you saw earlier, because it happens quick. And even if you just went to the bathroom, you will feel like you're about to.
Well, thank you for your service in telling us about that. That's useful inside information that kind of goes against what most people think, these fantasies they have of Lexington and Concord on the front yard.
And let me throw in something. Yeah, let me throw in something also there. If you're listening to this on the radio and you think, well, there's no way that'll happen in America, or that's not going to happen in my town, or that wouldn't happen here, or my local police wouldn't do that to me, that is exactly what happened after Katrina in Louisiana, where they literally, and all you have to do is Google this or search it on YouTube, they literally busted into an old lady's house. The only thing she had was a small pistol to defend herself with.
Snub-nosed revolver.
Yeah, and the heavily armed cops beat her up and took her little pistol.
It was cops and the National Guard, and it was out-of-state National Guard. So if you think, hey, I go bowling with my sheriff, and he's an oath keeper, and he loves the Constitution, they're not going to even tell him. You know, they're just going to bring in out-of-state military and take your guns.
And they go ahead, Lou.
Let's take a step further. That sheriff, is he accepting weapons and armaments and vehicles through the Pentagon's 1033 program?
Of course.
Do you think he's going to bite the hand that feeds him, or is he going to lick it?
No, he's going to ask for a slightly longer leash and a whole bunch more chew toys to shoot people with.
Exactly.
So we're kind of burying the lead. What happened in Colorado? How did voting fail?
Okay, Colorado, the people voted to legalize cannabis for recreational purposes. And just like drink sizes in New York City, there is a limit on how much you can have, because we all know that in New York City, if you have a 17-ounce Mountain Dew, you're a terrorist. 16 ounces is just fine. I believe it's a 2-ounce limit for recreational cannabis.
A high-capacity magazine of soda? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if you exceed the amount that you have, because there's 28 grams in an ounce, if you have 56 grams, you're okay. But if you have 57 grams, all of a sudden you're a terrorist, because you have this arbitrary limit, kind of like magazine capacity. So people are still getting arrested. I'm pretty sure that the people that were in prison for nonviolent cannabis-related crimes have not been released, because heaven forbid that the prison workers have less work to do. But also, raids are still happening there. Just last week, and this is an older story, I don't have the most recent update on it. I don't know if there has been an update, but the Denver police, you know, the local police, the ones that your city council, if you live there and you claim ownership of it, your city council and your mayor says who the chief of police is going to be, and they hire that chief of police, and they lay down policy, because cops are just the enforcement wing for the local government. They partnered up with the Drug Enforcement Agency, and they did raids on multiple grow operations. And what's really interesting is they can't say for sure what they haven't released whether it's a legal grow operation or a illegal grow operation, meaning permitted and paying off the local mafia dons to get that permission. And there's really no explanation of what illegal activity was happening there. So essentially, they went in there and they interfered with commerce, and
they interfered with intrastate commerce.
Yeah, and they can't. They're not giving any details to justify the raid.
Yeah, and the feds are supposed to have no purview over intrastate commerce.
Well, here's something else. People always refer to the 10th Amendment as a solution to nullify federal laws. Oh, okay. Who are these state and local politicians that are going to nullify the federal laws? Will those be the ones that are conducting these raids in partnership with the federal authorities?
Yeah, and I would say too that gun owners in Colorado should get together and try to help the pot growers in Colorado in a 10th Amendment nullification, just to see if it'll work. Just so you could do a practice 10th Amendment nullification to see if it works before you try it on your gun rights.
Right. Yeah, because if it won't work for pot, it won't work for guns either.
Yeah.
Or raw milk.
Yeah.
Or backyard chickens.
Although Colorado is one of these places where it's really one of the testing grounds for pitting gun rights against pot rights. Because they really want to divide and conquer there. So basically all of the politicians that are very pro longer leash on marijuana are very anti-gun. And they actually successfully did a recall on some anti-gun loons there, but they were also people that, you know, they took out the people that were kind of more pro longer leash on pot. So they really do think that you can be half free there and they want to divide and conquer.
It's not that they're
pick a side, people. We're at war. That's what
they're saying. They're not anti longer leash on gun rights. They're pro choke collar.
Yeah.
But if you look at nullification of gun laws, which states are going to do that? Would that be Illinois, California, New York State, Connecticut,
Hawaii? People always forget Hawaii. That's a horrible gun ownership state.
Well, what about Texas? Because open carry is
illegal.
Only semi-legal. You can open carry a shotgun or a rifle, I believe it is.
You can open carry on your ranch, or you can open carry if you're a cowboy reenactor.
Yeah. I think you can use a certain type of black powder for open carry, but what's the deal here? Whatever happened to shall not be infringed? So these states that have supported gun control are going to support nullification efforts to stop gun control, even though they've been supporting it for all this time? Really?
Mm, yeah.
So it is putting faith in something that doesn't exist.
Let me throw out something also about local politicians that people forget sometimes. You know, if you name just about any mayor of any small town, he would probably prefer to be mayor of a bigger town.
Yeah.
And if you can name a mayor of a bigger town, he would probably like to be governor. Somewhere deep in his fantasies, he wants to be governor. And the same thing goes with the city council. If the city council can get away with it, he's going to run for a state position of some kind. And if he's successful there, his desire is to go to federal Congress or to go to Washington in some way or another. It's always their desire to move up. So they're not going to clash with the feds on a real serious level.
Yeah.
People like that governor in Texas, I can't remember his name. He'll rattle his sword about standing up to Washington and all the while planning on running for president.
It's about the right to own and use property. It doesn't matter what size magazine the property has, if it's green and leafy, or if it goes cock-a-doodle-doo in the backyard.
Worms.
More freedom beans after this.
Worms.
You Wimes. And the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from ShinyBadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at ShinyBadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
This is the heavily gated sound of the Freedom Fiends, the most powerful show in the Tri-Cow area.
And that's because you're in Wyoming.
Yeah, it's because, I don't know, somebody said we're on a bunch of stations in a bunch of cow towns, and I proudly said, yes, there are cows in most of the towns we're in. I looked at the, the tri-yard area for like low-power stations. We're on two of them. We're on 33 commercial stations and two low power stations, which actually reach about a half mile to a mile in radius. But there was a joke on King of the Hill where Dale Gribble got a transmitter that basically reached, you know, his three neighbors' yards. And he said, called it the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area. But somebody pointed out that the Montana station run, KNOX, K-N-O-X, reaches like 20 miles into Canada. It's a 93,000 watt FM station. It's got a huge area that it covers, and it does reach into Canada, like probably 30 miles. But one of our Canadian listeners said that that makes the Freedom Fiends the most powerful station in the Tri-Cow area. I like that. We are powered by DSL here at Freedom Fiends. I'm testing that right now. We have two different internet connections, and I'm talking without interruption over the DSL and sending some giant files to Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, of ads, Fiends ads, to use in his Bad Quaker podcast from badquaker.com. And here to tell you about fun with guardrails is Ben Stone, the badquaker.com.
Hi, this is Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker, with more fun with guardrails. The never-ending episodes. Yeah, so I was reading the story, and on the surface, it's fairly simple. There's a new style, and I remember hearing about this several years ago. I think Discovery Channel or one of those places like that did an expose on it. They had come out with these new guardrails that were lighter weight, easier to install, and rather than just bashing your car when you bump them, they gently slow your car down and bring it to a stop rather than, you know, just totally destroying inside of your car. So state after state started implementing these new guardrails. And as it turns out, and I'm not going to name any companies and we're not going to libel ourselves in any way here, but as it turns out, there was a bunch of the research that was falsified and the product itself was changed without notifying the states that were purchasing this product. So they weren't really buying what they thought they were buying, and they weren't buying it based on the actual product research that had been done. So state after state started implementing these new guardrails, and state after state began finding out that in fact they were more dangerous than the old, or that they at least didn't perform the way that they were told that they would perform. So now this should be an easy enough solution. If you have a major company that is buying a product, and into the purchases, you know, well into the purchases, they find out, oh, this product doesn't do what we had expected or what it was promised. So what will happen is somebody with authority will just send a memo to whoever the purchaser is and says, you know, hey, Doug, or hey, Bill, or hey, whatever, let's not buy that product anymore. Go ahead and find a substitute and we'll go to that, or go to the old product that we used to use. It's that simple in a corporation. And I'm not a big backer of corporations. I'm just saying that's how simple it works. But in government, it doesn't work like that. You have some guy or some lady who has some bureaucratic position that they've wiggled themselves into, and they're the purchaser. They're the purchaser of the guardrail. And
does this government position make me look fat?
Yeah.
Can you vote for a longer guardrail?
And they have worked themselves into this position where they can actually, you know, call up the guardrail salespeople and say, tell me why I should buy your guardrails. And they say something like, sure, we'll give you a weekend at this five-star resort free meals at this five-star restaurant. And we'll explain to you in series after series of sales pitches of why you should buy our guardrails.
So it's like a timeshare deal, but with public money.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone else's money.
So there's every motive for this stinking bureaucrat to keep buying the dangerous guardrails. And there is no motivation for him to stop buying them. And it doesn't matter what the rest of the government... The state ends up having to pass laws to get their own employees to stop buying these guardrails. That's government. So be sure and vote.
That would not happen in the free market. Without the government, who would build the roads? People who have a reason to put your safety first. We'll be back after this trip to the free market. And if anyone says, no, the same thing would happen in the free market. No, it wouldn't, because people would be competing to make the roads. And the people that did stupid things like that would not win the competition of the free market. The capitalism that makes things great. The pure capitalism, not the corporatism, but the capitalism. We'll be back for hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Hey, there's some Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons.
You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends.
Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, swimming to the surface in a morass of tyranny. And we got Mr. Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Are you there? Are you safe, sir?
I am safe. I have not been contacted by the government because they can't find me.
Yeah, so you think. You got your own private drone that follows you everywhere you go. You just don't know it. And we got Mr. Lucander Fiend. Are you there?
I am safe and I make sounds.
So I wanted to do a little shout out here to two radio pioneers. And I'm not talking about someone from back in the day, you know, who brought down, anyway, I'm talking about Nima Vedati and Ian Freeman. It's not like these people aren't dead. I mean, they're, Ian's going to do a show a couple hours after ours, and Nima is alive and well and, peacefully parenting the next generation of no government women. But Nima Vedati and I started this show, going on 4 years ago. Is it 3? I don't even remember. 2011, 12, 13, 14. It was May 2011. It was May 1st, April. Actually, the first Freedom Fiends podcast episode went up. No, it was April Fool's Day, which is kind of funny. The show was originally called the Guns and Weed Podcast for the first 8 episodes. We like guns. I don't smoke weed, but we made a movie called Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Nima Vedati and I did. Which you can get free. It's a feature-length movie. You can watch it on YouTube or download a digital perfect copy of it. Yes, we do pirate ourselves. Or you can buy a copy on Amazon by going to gunsandweed.com. That's gunsandweed.com. And the basic premise of that movie was, the tagline of it was, because there's no such thing as half free. And that's true. You can't be single issue. You have to be all issue. And you especially, if you're a real freedom person, you verbally fight for and do activism for freedom of things you don't do. You know, all gun owners are pro gun freedom. That's just being selfish, really, when it comes down to it. If you're really into freedom and you're not selfish, if you're a gun owner, you know, go do something for the marijuana rights people. So Nima and I made this movie, Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom, we made a podcast called The Guns and Weed Podcast. And after 8 episodes, I was just like, that's a ridiculous name. That's going to keep us really small. So Nima came up with Freedom Fiends. We did this show 2 or 3 times a week as a podcast for about 3 years, 2 and 3. Anyway, till May of last year, we got on radio. And Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live helped us get on radio. He put in a good word with Genesis Communications Network, our wonderful our wonderful network who do, I guess, sponsor us to be on the radio. They put faith in us to put us on the radio. You know, I don't like it when shows that are internet only call themselves blah 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 radio or blah blah radio, because they're not radio and we are radio. And, you know, there's a lot of good things that are podcast only or streaming only, but being on radio takes more work, and it actually takes somebody else believing in you. So anybody can start an internet radio show, but to start a radio show, what that means is somebody is spending, somebody believes in you enough to spend money to like pay a board op and pay the network fees and pay the satellite channel to have you go out on radio. So it's a little harder to do. But what I was thinking about during the break was that Nima Vidotti and I really kind of honed the style of this show. And I was thinking about it. I was like, man, Lou's kicking butt. And Lou's his own person. He's not imitating Nima Vidotti. But the whole vibe of this show is definitely influenced by Nima Vidotti. The fact that we just laugh at the ridiculousness of the state instead of being horrified by the state like most internet radio shows and radio shows about liberty or about, you know, a campaign for a longer leash kind of liberty or straight up liberty. The only two really straight up liberty shows of, you know, just no compromise liberty shows are us and Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live is Ian Freeman and Mark Edge. They've had that show for 11 years. They didn't even start on the internet. They started at a single radio station in Florida. Like, they used to go into the station to do it. And they built that. They built the possibility to do a totally ANCAP libertarian voluntarist radio show on government controlled syndicated commercial radio. And when Ian first started doing this, I mean, he was calling people up 11 years ago and saying, yeah, you know, we just got syndicated. Actually, they were on one station, then another station, then another station, one station only for like 2 years or something. Then they got syndicated by GCN when in its, you know, fledgling years. And Ian was calling up stations, and, you know, when they'd ask him a little bit about it, he'd say, they'd be like, yeah, we're, you know, libertarians. And people were like, what's a libertarian? Like, he was, that's how much of a pioneer he was. He had to explain to people what libertarians were. And now, you know, I call up stations and say, yeah, we're libertarians. And they're like, I know what that is, and I don't want you on my station. You know, like, the, you don't have to explain it anymore. And not everybody's like that. Some people are smart and cool and don't want to just do the old kind of radio. They want to look at what's coming, which is a really smart business move. And it's a tough and brave business move. You know, the example I can think of is the band Nirvana. They changed everything commercially with the record industry. They didn't change everything with music. They were a really good band, but, like, you know, there were a bunch of bands playing weird music like that, including my band Bomb at the time, that were like unsignable. We all thought we were unsignable. So it was really bizarre when Nirvana and Jane's Addiction got signed and changed everything, because the music that major labels were putting out at that time was hair metal. You know, like, we're not gonna take it. No, we're not gonna take it. That kind of stuff.
What I grew up on.
Yeah, what we all grew up on. And, you know, those bands had some good tunes, but they were really extravagant and bombastic and noodly and ridiculous. And, like, Nirvana just destroyed that, you know, with those, like, opening chords and Dave Grohl's drums on, you know, Smells Like Teen Spirit. It's like, you heard that on the radio and you're like, what is this? Which, you know, I didn't really say, because I'd seen Nirvana play that same song in a club, you know, a year and a half earlier to like 95 people. But
there was also, Michael, there was also a distinct lack of hairspray and spandex.
Yeah, man.
An eyeliner.
Yeah. Yep. And it was a beautiful thing. And the thing was, when Nirvana got turned down by a bunch of record labels, because the record labels were like, well, if you put on some spandex and hair eyeliner and put in more guitar solos, we might consider you, but you're not what the kids want. And, you know, a label took a chance on them and said, no, I think this is what kids are going to want 6 months or a year from now or 5 years from now. And they signed Nirvana, and it killed that kind of music. I mean, I've seen a bunch of interviews on Where Are They Now, kind of VH1, where they interview old hair metal bands, and they're like, we were at the top of the world. We were flying in private jets. The women were beautiful. The drugs were strong, and we thought it would last forever. And then that band Nirvana came out. We hated them. And like a lot, I've heard like four guys from, you know, Poison and bands like that, like say like, I hate Nirvana. I hate them. I can't listen to them to this day. They're great, but I hate them because it just killed their run, man. And
it's funny that you mentioned Poison, because the guys in Poison were prettier than the girls in Vixen.
Yeah. And, you know, Nirvana came along and destroyed that. And I really think that that Free Talk Live is the Nirvana of talk radio. It's taken a little longer to have the effect for the ripples to get across the pond and come back, and for the message to be fully integrated, because radio is an older, slower medium by far. And I'm not saying slow in a bad way. Like, it's more consistent and doesn't respond to trends. But, you know, the negative end of that is that the old dinosaurs chewing their tails get to stick around a lot longer. But yeah, man, Ian Freeman and Mark Edge pioneered this kind of radio. And then we're kind of taking it on the Fiends because of the input that Nima Vedati had. He's no longer with us. He's not dead. He's probably listening right now, and we love him, but he's no longer on the show. And it takes a village to replace Nima Vedati. We replaced him with 12 co-hosts, and we're adding three more rotating co-hosts because we now are 7 days a week. Here's the other important piece of the puzzle that Ian Freeman brought to the show. So around the time Nima Vedati left, we were just doing the Saturday and Sunday show, like the Saturday show we're doing now and the same show on Sunday at, you know, 11 a.m. Mountain time to 1 a.m. In my time, Mountain time. And that's pretty hard for me to wake up to. Like, literally, I wake up to an alarm to do it because I'm a night person. So I told Nima at one point that I wanted to go to 7 days a week because I wasn't getting enough radio. And Nima's like, I can't really do that, man. And so what I did was I went and started a nighttime show called Michael Dean After Dark on GCN. And GCN was cool enough, like, they like the Fiends a lot, and they were cool enough to say, yeah, we'll take a chance and we'll pay a board op to be there. And, you know, you can do five more shows a week, you know, 2 hours a night. And I did that for about 2.5 months and actually used some of the same co-hosts we're using now on the Freedom Fiends. And it kind of made the template for what the Fiends is now. Like, it's kind of like fun college radio-y, but still tight, good production value, but anything kind of goes, kind of general interest and wacky, but down to earth, I guess I'd say. And Nima helped build that. But then Ian Freeman not only helped us get on radio and kind of mentored us, helped me set up a lot of my equipment, you know, told me what equipment to get. Ian Freeman made a really valuable contribution that I feel is kind of like, you know, in the movie The Social Network, the guy who invented Napster is like, and one more thing, just here, don't call it the Facebook, call it Facebook. You know, it was like one of those kind of things, like just in passing, that actually was in, like, the most important thing that guy did for Facebook. And this is the most important thing I think Ian did for me, was I called the show Michael Dean After Dark. And after Nima left, I decided to go to 7 days a week. And I thought, I'll just combine the shows. And I was like, should I start over and make all of the shows called Michael Dean After Dark and make the weekend ones nighttime? Cause I like doing nighttime shows better. It's easier for my brain. Or should I make all the shows called Freedom Fiends? And he said, you know, Free Talk Live is called Free Talk Live, Michael. It's not called the Mark and Ian Show. And that's important because then, you know, if one of us can't do it, or if we're both in jail for activism someday, it can carry on. And if you have a certain, if your name's in the show, you end up with a cult of personality and it goes to your head. And I listened to him and I picked Freedom Fiends instead of Michael Dean After Dark and turned it into a distributed show teaching hospital that's not dependent on me. And that's the most important thing that he helped me with.
With Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
is the Freedom Fiends, in case you didn't know that. And we're talking about distributed media production. And I don't mean, you know, old school, like Time Magazine is distributed by. I mean, like, distributed among a number of people. So there's no single point of failure. Can anyone tell me in the teaching hospital, what are some other distributed technologies?
I could mention CopBlock. CopBlock is an organization that does not have a central authority or central head figure or no home location where it can be raided or stopped or whatever. CopBlock, each individual unit of CopBlock is based in a city or a town, and it is independently owned, and not even owned. It's operated by the people in that group. And if for some reason, if the authorities for whatever purpose would want to shut down CopBlock entirely, they could go in and literally pick up every single member of, let's say, Dayton CopBlock. They could Dayton for Dayton, Ohio. They could pick up every member of Dayton CopBlock and grab everything they own, and it wouldn't affect Cincinnati CopBlock in the least. Yeah. And that's an example of that.
Governments hate stuff like that. They think you're terrorists if you operate like that, because they're so used to centralized bureaucracies, top-down org chart kind of stuff. You know what's almost unstoppable? And I'm not saying, you know, for any violent activity. I'm saying for any, like, counter-violent activity. You know what's really unstoppable? Organizations that are based on an idea that have tight little local cells of three or four people who've grown up together. And that's the key, who've grown up together. I mean, you can do it. You can do other things like software projects and things with people you've never met. But, you know, people who've been friends since kids, they know they're not going to crack. They know what they're going to know. The thing that I do is just, I don't know anything that would be useful if I were tortured. Like, you know, as someone who does a feisty radio show, a lot of people contact me, and if anybody ever says anything wonky or like they're calling for revolution or anything like that, I just block them. I'm just like, you're either a Fed, or, you know, if you're calling for shooting cops and things like that, you're either a Fed or, you know, a Fed plant trying to stir up, you know, trying to take down the movement, or you're an idiot and I don't want anything to do with you. So yeah,
you just don't understand our message.
Yeah, our message is we are armed guys, but we're peace-loving, and we think that guns are great, but they're a really grandpa solution to a modern problem. You know, the modern problem of tyranny. I mean, the reason in 1775, and yeah, I said five, not six. Six is when they wrote it down on paper and made it square. So 1776 is when they made a government. 1775 is when they started revolution. The reason people look back fondly to that as, you know, the rifle was the greatest thing ever, and it will save us from tyranny. The reason that is so repeated is that in 1775, a rifle was pretty much the cutting edge of technology. It was pretty much the most advanced piece of mechanical technology there was. And that's so not the case anymore, man. We basically have other... The thing is... Rifles haven't changed that much. Like, you know, yeah, your deer rifle is far more accurate than the rifles they used at Lexington Concord, but they're really pretty much the same thing. They're accurate to a bit further, and they, you know, can hold more rounds. You don't have to use a tamping rod to put each round in. But the government's technology to murder you has grown so exponentially vast. And but the thing is, what's really grown for people, where we've kind of kept up with the government, is in computer technology. And yeah, they're spying on us all the time, but like, they can't break Bitcoin. They cannot break encryption. You know, the things have just come up that they can't do anything with. So yeah.
And I can think of something also that might fit into that category as being a potential future weapon that is decentralized and can't be stopped and can't be countered. And that would be Fiendphone.
Yeah, Fiendphone is a technology that our friend Derek Slopey is working on. It's going to be a distributed free software, free in the sense of free beer, but also in the sense of free speech, in that anyone can modify it and doesn't have to pay us for it. It's basically going to be a replacement for Skype for people using these $50 microphones we're using. So everybody can do a radio show, or at least an internet radio show that sounds good. I hope he gets on that and works on it. I haven't seen anything yet. Derek, this is us saying we want to see some Fiend Phone, man. We'd love it. We want it. It's not a distributed project, though. There's a single point of failure, and it's Derek. So, Derek, please bring us Fiend Phone. Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yep, it's the Freedom Fiends. You know, back when I was stationed in Schweinfurt, Germany, with my rock musical group Bomb, yeah, we spent 3 months in Germany and spent a month of it in Schweinfurt. It's a long story. We hung out with a lot of U.S. soldiers because we wanted to speak English for a while, sometimes occasionally with people that were native speakers. Although most Germans speak English with better grammar than Americans. But yeah, we'd hang out with them. They'd also buy us, you know, cheap cigarettes at the PX. It was not a distributed thing. Bands are not distributed. Bands are, it's these same four guys and you're married to them for life. And I really hated that because the arguments.
Unless you're Leonard Skinnerd.
Yeah, there you go. Because the arguments get amplified over time and they don't go away. It's like being married to three other people with as many personality problems as I had back then. So. I liked the music, but I didn't like the, you have to do these same guys. And if they're in a bad mood, there's no one else you can do it with. And if they're sick, you can't do it. That kind of thing. Whereas I like a distributed, decentralized organization like the Freedom Fiends, where we have, it's usually me and one of the other co-hosts or two of the other co-hosts, but sometimes it's not even me. Sunday nights, it's Derek J. And I really like that, man. It's a little more work of cat herding. Like, you know, I don't like when it was just Nima, I would just call Nima up and be like, you know, if I couldn't get a hold of Nima, I didn't know when we were doing a show or pre-gaming or whatever. And I really, really love distributed organizations. And that was the one thing that Ian Freeman really hipped me to, was like, don't make it dependent on you. Don't put your name on it. And also there's, you know, the Molyneux effect, which is where shows that have one host who's answering questions and acting like God dispensing wisdom or a prophet dispensing wisdom, it tends to go to the people's heads and they kind of tend to get really just off the rails. Like they start out really good and with time they get weirder and weirder and people don't even notice. Well, some people don't even notice, but I like the thing with a lot of different co-hosts because I'm not dependent on any one person and I don't get to turn into a megalomaniac. Some would argue with that, but so distributed systems also work really well with computing and technology, like, you know, Linux, the operating system that is free to download and free to alter and free to do whatever you want with, was, you know, it was started by three basic people, but thousands of people wrote code for it and nobody really owns it. And anyone can do anything with it. And that's a lot more unstoppable than something like a corporation like, you know, Microsoft or Apple. And when you were stationed in Germany too, there wasn't with a rock musical group. It was with an army, the U.S. Army, Lou. Mm-hmm. Did you experience the Stasi during the Cold War?
I was there when, before, during, and after the collapse of the Berlin Wall, and when you had the reunification of the two Germanys. And one of the complaints from service members, as well as West German citizens, and as well as Americans, was that the Ministerium für Staatssicherheit, also known as the Stasi, it was the secret police force. And Ministerium für Staatssicherheit means Ministry for State Security. And that's internal security.
The Department kind of, like, of Homeland Security.
Yes, exactly. And their thing was, it wasn't about national security, it was about state security, meaning stomping out all dissidents and anybody that, that felt that their leash was too short. And the one of the big complaints was, oh my God, they're so horrible. They're spying on their people, because back then they used to have 20 people in a room with one single steam kettle that they got from the Soviet surplus store. And they were opening people's mail looking for anti-government or pro-freedom writings. They were tapping phone calls as much as was humanly possible. This was in
which back then literally involved like opening up a phone box and touching two wires to the screws inside.
Yeah, they had to leave their windowless bunker to be able to tap phones.
Yeah.
And they never had the technology that was available today, like the NSA uses. And here people have this cognitive dissonance of, oh my God, it's so horrible that the East German Stasi was doing this to their people, yet they hold the conflicting view that, well, the NSA does it for our safety, because there might be somebody out there that's planning on doing something, even though, you know, the Boston bombers were not caught. The people that hacked into Target last year at Christmas time and other big companies and stole all that credit card stuff, they haven't been caught and brought to justice. Basically, the NSA in Department of Homeland Security is nothing more than a Ministry of State Security, to where they are crushing out, or attempting to crush out, every single person that doesn't like being kept on a short leash with a choke collar. And where the distributed network comes in, as you mentioned, you can cut one head off of the Hydra, but 20 more pop up.
And here's what's happening today. You know, I mentioned that nothing is as unstoppable as, you know, small cells operating independently of each other with no central leadership, to quote Fight Club. And they were talking about a destructive thing in there, the blowing up stuff. And we're not talking about that at all. We're talking about spreading the ideas of liberty. But basically what you're ending up with now is a worldwide network of people who have the central idea of more freedom and of trying to get more freedom through the systems we have now isn't working. I mean, you know, everything from libertarians to anarcho-capitalists to, you know, pot activists in Colorado to gun activists in Colorado to the Arab Spring to Occupy Wall Street. And, you know, there are problems with all of those communities. None of them get it 100% right, but they're all looking for more freedom. To like, you know, people having riots in Brazil because the buses aren't running because they have a government monopoly on them. People are waking up worldwide more and more and more to the idea that this dinosaur of the state thrashing in the tar pits and chewing on its tail and not being aware of it while it's going extinct. And it will get noisier and thrashier in some instances as it becomes more obsolete. But it's getting to the point where government is kind of like Facebook, as Nima Vedati would say. You know,
there's MySpace.
Or MySpace, thank you. There's 300 million users and none of them have logged in 5 years. You know, there's 300 million registered users and none of them have logged in 5 years. That's kind of how MySpace is. I still have an account on there. I actually logged in recently. Their servers are really slow.
Let me point out something else about East Germany. Contrary to what the constitution waivers say here, East Germany had a constitution, and they had the equivalent of a Bill of Rights. And just like North Korea, just like the People's Republic of China, and just like the Soviet Union, they have the right to free speech, assembly, and demonstration listed in their constitutional Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
And what is that shown? Yeah, they had free speech zones. They also had people that would come snatch him up. I don't know of too many people being snatched up for free speech here other than Ray McGovern recently in New York City when he went to a David Petraeus speech. But maybe the Iron Fist is covered with a little bit more velvet glove here than it is there. But these people are ignoring these free speech rights. They're ignoring, you know, constitutional protections, if you can call it that. And I don't call it constitutional protections because if you read Articles 1 through 7, it basically nullifies Amendments 1 through 10. And Butler Schaefer has a very good quote. People that wave their constitutions around as symbols of their liberty remind me of dogs that have learned to carry their own leashes in their mouths.
Yeah. Yeah.
The that is excellent.
I mean, people have a lot of almost religious feelings about the founding documents of America, but a lot of those people have never read them. They've all read the Bill of Rights a couple times and like, yeah, that stuff sounds good, but it's all ignored everywhere anyway and nullified by the government, by the federal government, without even a legal procedure. They just say, we're going to take your pot, even though your state made it legal and, you know, states are supposed to have supremacy over the federal government according to the 8th, 9th, and 10th Amendments in things that are not enumerated in the Constitution. And the Constitution, the drafts of it were written on hemp. They were written on pot, and the actual Declaration of Independence, copies of it were made on hemp. So, you know, if you think that pot is unconstitutional, no, it's literally the Constitution of the Constitution.
But we voted. We voted for a longer leash. Give us a 6.5-foot leash instead of a 6-foot leash. Yeah.
And if you actually read the Constitution proper before the first 10 amendments, it basically sets up the tyranny we have now. If you think that Nancy Pelosi is unconstitutional, no, she's absolutely constitutional. Unfortunately, well, not in everything she does, but, you know, like when she says, you know, when they said, what gives you the right to pass Obamacare? You know, first she said, like, I'm not going to answer that. And then the next, you know, which shows the true, like, we are the kings and you are the peasants. And, you know, all politicians have felt like that forever. They just weren't as bold about saying it as they are now. But, you know, when she said, then later she said it was the Interstate Commerce Clause that allowed them to do that. And if you read it, it looks like it is. I mean, really, that gives them the right to do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. And they have the power to lay and collect taxes, which Neema and I used to say means lay around and collect taxes. But it means to write and collect taxes. And there's no limits on it. The limits on it are that there are checks and balances of different parties and different people who are supposed to check and balance each other. But more and more and more, they just all serve the state and they check and balance in favor of more government because it gets them perks and they get a big happy spot in their heart and their pants by tyrannizing people.
Butler Schaefer has a very good article. I believe it's called The Little Red Book of the Beltway. And he goes into the parts of like Article 1 where it talks about the general welfare, necessary and proper, and all these weasel words that basically enable what exists today. But let's take it a little step further. Everybody has this idea that the founding fathers, I call them the founding lawyers, got together in 1787 and they hammered out a plan that was going to actually limit government. Okay, let's go back to 2012 in the convention with Ron Paul. Whether you like Ron Paul or not, if you are unbiased, it is difficult to say that the Republican Party did not take over that convention with the intention of stealing Ron Paul out of there.
Yep.
What makes you think that this type of corruption started at this convention and it didn't exist in 1787?
Yep. Yeah. Remember that picture of Obama in a general's outfit that said general welfare?
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio worms.
Creamy radio audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. with articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Redemption in the third act.
This Tuesday, vacate the vote with me.
Go to the Facebook page, The Art of Not Being Governed. That's facebook.com/The Art of Not Being Governed. I'll be taking questions and explaining to people why voting will not bring liberty. And it's not enough to stop voting and participating in the electoral process. It's more important to stop participating in the election results. And with more on the three fallacies of liberty, I'm going to throw it over to Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Take it away, Ben.
Thanks, Lou. Yeah, see, voting is a fallacy. We do it because, well, I don't do it anymore, but the reason a person votes is because they want to change government. They want to use government to change government to fit their will. So the problem with that is that it has never worked. It's been going on a long time now, and government grows bigger and stronger and nastier at every turn. So if you keep doing the same thing over and over and it never works, why would you think that you should continue to keep doing it over and over and over? You should evaluate what you're doing and ask yourself, am I accomplishing what I want, or am I just spinning my wheels? So for that reason, I say that voting is one of the fallacies of liberty, and it's just a dead end street that will never accomplish what you want it to do. But then again, there are two more things I wanted to talk about: fighting or revolution. Sometimes people get so frustrated that their voting doesn't work that they think, that's it, we have to take up arms. But that's, again, another fallacy. Revolution is just turning around in a circle and you find yourself sitting in the exact same spot. So revolution is not going to help. You look through history, revolution only takes out one tyrant and replaces it with another. And usually the one you get afterwards is worse than the one you had to begin with. This is the source of the Who song from the 70s. We won't get fooled again. Yeah, that's the point of the song. You have your revolution and you think, I won't get fooled again. But then in comes the new boss. It's the same as the old boss. And all the beards have grown longer overnight, but nothing changes. The shotgun still rules. And see, that didn't do anything. And over in history, we do this. We repeat the same mistakes, hoping to get a different result. So what's the third fallacy of liberty? Well, this idea that all we have to do is move to a new place. Now, I have a whole rant on Daniel Boone that I'm not going to go into today. But one of these days, maybe we'll have the time and Michael let me talk about it. Daniel Boone spent his whole life. Daniel Boone spent his whole life trying to find liberty. He couldn't get it in Virginia. He couldn't get it through short jumps into Kentucky, coming back to Virginia. So he moved to Kentucky, and he couldn't get it there because the government followed him into Kentucky. And so he tried working with government, and it didn't work. And he tried fighting government, and it didn't work. So eventually, he tried to run away from government, and he moved to Missouri, and he swore he'd never go back to Kentucky again, and he'd never be under a government again. And you know what happened? Government moved to Missouri and surrounded him until he died. And that's the lesson there in Daniel Boone, is the same thing. You can't run away from this thing. You can't confront it, and you can't get involved in it and change it from the inside. So what's the answer? The answer is Nirvana. The answer is Elvis. The answer is a new thing that's better than what was before, and that doesn't come from what was before, but is genuinely different. And when people see something that they've never seen before, and it's something that's attractive and it's clearly better than the previous product, they latch onto it and they take it. And that's our job. Our job is to present something that the whole of humanity has in entire generations has never thought about. And that's what we have. We have Nirvana in a world that's stuck in hair bands and leftover disco. That's what we're asking. Just take a look, take a listen. Look, we don't have spandex. We don't have hairspray. We're just laying it out for you. We're just shaking our hips and curling our lips saying, I dare you to listen to me. And I don't care what your mom and dad say. We're presenting it to you in a way that you've never heard it before. We're going to make your thighs shake with liberty.
Wow.
Thank you. That's how we're going to win.
And who wins the revolution? Those that are best at the use of violence, espionage, and treachery, and to think that they will not continue that policy after they have won is naive, because the first thing they do is put in place policies to keep somebody else from doing to them what they just did to the previous government.
Or as Nima Vedati said it really succinctly, the day after the revolution, the radicals become the conservatives because they want to stay in power. So don't fight with guns to get to freedom. It's not going to do it. Fight with your mind, man. Say no to the state. Loudly oppose power out loud in front of other people who might not get it. And that's how you do it, man. We'll be back tomorrow with Bill Buppert on the Freedom Fiends. Thank you, Lou Sander Fiend, and thank you, Ben Quaker, the Bad Stone.
Thank you, Michael.
Wimes.